must we do to be saved? Is it works? Is it magic? Is it membership in the right club or group? None of these things are faithful to Scripture. They're man-made, empty ideas that trap and enslave people and leave them without hope. The Scripture's plain that we're saved by faith, which is not of ourselves, but rather, it's the gift of God. Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim gives a recap of Galatians 3 and addresses the issue of why all the works-based ideas about religion are false. There's really no more important distinction that needs to be grasped. For if we do not understand this truth, we're going to enslave ourselves to lies. So settle in, and let's listen as Pastor Jim shares the light of the Word.
Galatians 4, starting with verse 1. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Oh, Father, Lord, we do pray that you would speak to these that you have gathered into this house today, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored, Lord, by all things that are said here, that you would speak through me. And Lord, I pray that we would all be moved by your word, because your word, by your Holy Spirit, drives us and guides us to bring glory and honor to you. And so at the end of the day, Lord, when all is said and done here, may you be honored, may you be glorified because of your Spirit by your word. And we thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that you would use me to speak your word for your glory. I thank you, Lord. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're going to see here what is practically Paul's version of the Christmas story, and see the place that he has led to. Now, just as a little reminder, just as a little background again on Galatians, remember that after Paul had left the area, and after he had started these churches, there came in the Judaizers. And the Judaizers wanted to turn those who had come to Christ by faith for justification, they wanted to turn them to do works to continue in Christ. And Paul got wind of this. Now, Paul, when he led people to Christ and when Paul taught people, he took that as they became a part of his spiritual family, a part of his family. And he was very angered, spiritually angered, by these liars that came in. Now, folks, we've said this throughout this study. Liars come in to every church that preaches the gospel. And the goal of the liar is to change from the gospel to some sort of worldly, man-made doctrine that does not reveal Christ. In this case, that doctrine was the doctrine of works. The Judaizers told them that they had to be circumcised, they had to become Jews before they could be a Christian. And that the only way they could completely stay a Christian, a follower, a person of the way, was to be in the circumcision. And so the Gentiles that were there, and this church, these churches in Galatia were mostly Gentiles, they began to think, okay, well, this must be true. And that's why Paul comes in the beginning and says, oh, foolish Galatians. In fact, in chapter 3, starting in the first verse, Paul says, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by the hearing with faith? So Paul is pointing out to them in some pretty strong language, calling them foolish, because that's what it is when Christ has shown us by the Spirit of God that all we need he has given us when he gave us faith. And how foolish it is when we think we have to do something else. This false doctrine is very prevalent today. Not the circumcision as much as some sort of work that we have to do. That if we do not do certain things, if we do not behave in certain ways, then all of a sudden God's going to say, well, I changed my mind. I don't really love you, and we'll lose our salvation. That is not so. If we belong to Jesus Christ, we will not lose our salvation. So why do the works? Clearly, the purpose of the works is the revelation of the love of God in our lives. That is the reason for the works. So Paul makes this argument, this personal argument to them about those things that he personally had taught them that drew them to Christ that they had laid aside. Friends, don't lay aside the gospel because of some fancy, ear-tickling teaching. Don't lay aside the gospel because somebody has come along and bewitched you that there is something else you need. Paul makes another argument. We'll call that the practical argument. And we see that, I'm kind of going back through Galatians 3 a little bit here. We see that in Galatians 3, 26 to 29. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So now he's bringing this practical argument in to say that if you belong to Christ, that's where your focus should be. Folks, we get so busy with this world. You know, we've just gone through all this political stuff, and it doesn't matter what side of it you were on. We went through all this political stuff, and it was difficult for people on both sides of that. But the bottom line is God is God, no matter who is in the White House, no matter who is in Congress, and no matter who is sitting on the court. God is God. God has been served greatly in places, in times, of great persecution. The early church, the media of that time, which would be word of mouth, by the way, it wasn't Twitter, the media of that time could not squelch the voice of those who believed in Christ. The message got out and the church grew. So no matter who is in the White House, we have a responsibility to Christ. First and foremost, and he will lead us and he will guide us. And no matter what takes place in this world around us, it doesn't matter if it's in D.C. or Westmoreland. It doesn't matter if it's in Topeka, St. George, Wamego, Manhattan. What takes place around us, though it may affect us in some ways physically, spiritually our growth is not connected to it. We follow Christ. We follow God. And so Paul's kind of saying the same thing to those in the church in Galatia. He's telling them, you are Christ if you have believed through faith. And if you have believed through faith and you are Christ, then you are the offspring of Abraham. And if you are the offspring of Abraham, then you are heirs with Christ to those things that God has given to his children. So we have these two arguments. He has a third argument that he gives here in Galatians 3. And it takes up verses 6 to 25. And I'm going to kind of hit on it here in a few minutes. It is the spiritual argument, which includes Abraham, includes the curse of the law. It includes the promise over the law. And it includes the purpose of the law. And we'll look at this in just a moment. But as we look at our text, he says that we are no longer slaves. I mean, verse 1, that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. What is Paul trying to tell you through this sentence that he gives us, or this part of a sentence that he gives us? That you are no different from a slave who owns everything. We believe and we teach that before the foundations of the world, God knew who he was going to save. God knew. And in doing so, even though you were to be saved, if you are saved, there was a time when that was not evident in your life, was it? I know there was a time when it was extremely not evident in my life. Why? Because God had not shown me by the regeneration of my heart who he is. And since he had not shown this to me, I lived as a slave to sin, even though I would be his. So, I was truly a child of God, even before he saved me. However, I lived like a slave, because I had not understood or received all the benefit of being a son until he saved me. Or as the scripture says, until I received my Savior. I had not received the benefit. Though it would happen, it had not happened. We have those things in our life too, don't we? So he says in verse 2, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. You see, that's how it was for those of us who will be saved, who are not saved yet. We are still under the authority of the law. And under the authority of the law, we are being squished. And what I mean by that, simple term, does anybody here have no trouble keeping the law? We have all kinds of trouble keeping the law, don't we? You say, well, I don't kill anybody. Yeah, but do you get angry and hateful to people? According to Scripture, that's the same thing as killing them. Say, well, I've never committed adultery. Well, Jesus said, to look at someone of the opposite sex, to look at a woman and lust is the same thing as adultery. I'm in church every Sunday. But you know, the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And yet, we put so much of this world in front of God. It's hard to keep those commandments, isn't it? It is hard. And that's really not true. It's not really hard. It's impossible to keep those commandments. And since we can't keep those commandments, we are under the law. And the law provides one major thing that we need to understand. That the penalty of sin is death. The law tells us that. That if we sin, we must die. That's the law that we're bound to. Is anybody happy with that? I should hope not. I should hope not. What we must do is come to the Savior by faith so that the debt that he paid on the cross is passed on to us. That we would no longer be under the guardians of the law. And let me tell you, I have been around and in churches and around and with Christians who are, I'd say they're the law police. Because they are watching every single thing you do that is wrong, and they want to share it with their neighbors before they even share it with you. Now don't get me wrong. If you see a brother, you see a sister that is in sin, after you have dealt with yourself and your sin, then you go deal with them in love and humility. But I tell you, I've had people tell me about myself. And the thing is they probably weren't too far from wrong. But there was absolutely no grace. None that was shared. It was simply the law. Well, the law condemns me. Verse 3 says, in the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Elementary principles. Now, as I was researching for this message, I came up with some pretty fancy words that I could share with you guys. And I put them into my sermon, but then I decided, no, let's just look at this in simple, easy to understand words. Elementary principles. Did anybody here go to school ever? You started out in what? Elementary school, most of you? Some of you are young enough to have started in preschool. When I was growing up, they didn't have such a thing. We started in elementary school. What do we learn in elementary school? The elementary things of math and English and grammar and geography and all those things. Those, the elementary, the beginning things. And from that, as we go through those years of school, that expands, doesn't it? Sometime, I guess it's been a couple years now, I looked at a book that Joey was working out of. It was his trigonometry book. I wasn't even sure which way I was supposed to hold it, let alone what it was saying. We grow in those things. Folks, there are so many people that in the elementary things of this world, they are stuck. They have not grown out of those things. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, it says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Folks, there are so many people that are in church who have never gotten past the milk. Because what they know of God is what they hear when they come to church. And they never go any deeper. They never dig into God's Word for themselves. And I don't care who the preacher is. You will not grow by only listening to the preacher. You grow by digging in and digging deep. Sometimes I have to catch myself. So I'll hear somebody say something and I'll think, what's that pastor teaching them? And I think, no, that's not the case. They have a responsibility to grow. And if they aren't growing because they are not in the Word, then that is on them. And folks, you have a responsibility to grow in God's Word. And not to need the milk constantly. Galatians 3:23. I told you I'd get back into those other verses before long. Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. That's what I'm talking about that happens through this regeneration. That coming faith into your life happens when God regenerates your heart. And for those who haven't been here often and don't know what that means, to regenerate your heart is God, as the Scripture tells us, taking your heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh. And with that, He opens up the eyes and the ears so that you can see and hear spiritual things that you never saw and heard before. If you are here today and you are saved, you've been born again. There came a time when you was reading in the Scripture something you had read many times before, and as you're reading it this time, all of a sudden, you know what it means. You had read over it so many times, and in fact, didn't even realize you didn't know what it means because you just read over it. And then all of a sudden, in that growth, because of the eyes being open, the ears being open, it makes sense. But we were captive. We were held down and condemned by the law. Sad thing to me, and I kind of alluded to it a moment ago, sad thing is how many so-called Christians will be glad to continue to condemn you. Folks, anyone who is better than you is probably someone you need to stay away from because they aren't better than you. I don't care what their position, I don't care who they are. If somebody says they are better than you, then you need to stay away from them because they are fools who do not know God. Imprisoning us with the law. Galatians 3:24. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. Can I get an amen for that? Aren't you pleased that you are no longer under the guardianship of the law, but you are free from the law. And what are you under? Let me hear it. Grace. That's right. You are under grace. And what a difference that makes to be under grace instead of being under the law. As he continues, verses 23 and 24, I just read 23, verse 24 in chapter 3. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under the guardian. Again, this is glorious news. Verse 26. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. And when he says you are all, he is talking about all who have believed, all who have faith, all who have been saved, born again, however you want to put it. All of them are no longer under the law because of faith. That's what saves you. It doesn't matter what kind of a church you go to, because every denomination that I have come across, I have met believers in those denominations. In every denomination that I've come across, I have met liars and Judaizers who do not know the truth and do not care to. Just want to tear down those things of God. Verse 27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And it's not talking about the water baptism. We do not believe in baptismal generation, regeneration. We believe that God regenerates the heart, and that causes us as believers to be baptized. As I continue back to our text in chapter 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. When did it take place? I love this. This is beautiful. When the fullness of time had come. What does the fullness of time had come mean? It means on that moment when God had set apart from before the foundations of the world, at exactly that moment, Jesus took on flesh and was born. And in His humanity, remember, 100% God, 100% man. In His humanity, He was under the law. The difference is He did not sin. Romans 8, verse 15 says this, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Folks, this is the spirit that came on us. As you might, some might say, when we were baptized by the Holy Spirit, when we were born again, when God, by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, entered us and gave us faith, we cry out, Abba, Father. Back to our text, verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. What does Abba, Father mean? It's a very common term that Christians throw around with Abba, Father. And a lot of times we say it is like Daddy, Father, right? Have you heard that? What it is the most intimate of relationship with Father. That's why they use that illustration of Daddy, Father. Because it is the most intimate of relationship with a father. My father, your father, as a child who was dependent on our fathers, had that intimate relationship, didn't we? That closeness of relying on our dad. That's why you see, we cry out, Abba, Father, because of that closeness of relationship. Because of that closeness of love. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Now we go back to what I'd said earlier. I told you earlier that there were people who wanted you to do all sorts of things to keep your salvation. What we have to do to keep our salvation, listen close, is to have it. If you have salvation, you keep it.
That may be the most important thing you hear all week. If you have your salvation, you keep your salvation. God has secured salvation for those that He has called as sons and daughters. And there's nothing that you can do or not do which will undo what God has done. He saves those that He calls His own, those that He chose before the foundation of the world. And there's not a thing you can do to disrupt what He has done. Never let anyone tell you any different. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would love to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar, using stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to life from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. And until then, I'm Pastor Eugene. On behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Today I want to talk a little bit about boldness. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Or John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Folks, if we know God's Word, if we know God, if we are His by Jesus Christ, then we have the truth in us. And the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the truth. So, if that's the case, why are we so often pushed and pulled and tossed about by so many different things and afraid of this current wicked world? We have to stand with boldness. With boldness, we need to reveal who Jesus Christ is. Because if we do not, we show our lack of trust and faith in Him. Folks, I see all around me what is called the church knows nothing about Christ, and most definitely are not willing to serve and to follow after Him. So I call upon you today to be bold. In Ephesians 3:12 it says, in Him, through faith in Him, we may approach God with the freedom and confidence. If we can approach God, then we can stand before man without any fear, knowing that He is the one who we trust, knowing that He is the one who we need. In Proverbs 28, it says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Should we not, as Christians, be bold as a lion, sharing God's word that the people will hear it and come to know Him and glorify Him and enjoy Him forever? Is that not our call? Is that not our responsibility? So I ask you, friends, are you standing boldly in the truth and not allowing this wicked age to intimidate you? This is Pastor Jim. And until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.